chapter 2, enduring persecution, nothing like the ladies or the, whoever was kidnapped yesterday in Haiti. Isn't Haiti and Dominican Republic connected? It's like over a hill, mountain. Yeah, okay. I remember that correctly. All right. Keeping cool when the heat is on. I'll explain that in just a moment. Let's stand as we read God's Word, 1 Thessalonians 2. Before Pastor Corey gets there, if you want to know the theme, if you want to know what a church looks like when the seed sticks, this is your church. Okay, we're supposed to go out and sow seed. You want to see what it looks like when the seed sticks? Because sometimes the seed doesn't stick, all right? But in Thessalonica, it did, and this is what it looks like, okay? So we're in chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, for yourselves, brother, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Let's go, Heavenly Father. Lord, teach us to be bold. Help us to understand what that word means, how it is accomplished, and why it is necessary. Lord, as we face opposition, maybe for the first time in America, may we understand your plan, your counsel to us in those times. We thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen, and you may be seated. How are we to remain cool when the heat is on? So I shared with this with the group on Wednesday night, and I've since learn some additional things about this individual. On Tuesday morning, when we went to have our Bible study at the Hillsdale Middle School, it is up on the third floor in the library, and myself and two other pastors were walking up the stairs, and as soon as we got to the top of the stairs, we were met by one of the teachers in the middle school. And first he asked a general question, and I was kind of wondering, I wonder what he's doing. And then I found out what he was doing. He was there to basically verbally harass us, which I understand now is what he's been doing for a long, long time. Wanted to know where we were from, what we were doing there, why we thought we should be in there indoctrinating the children, that it was their mom and dad's responsibility, and what gave us the right, that blah, 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 blah. Now, I'll cut to the chase on my end. He did not realize, I'm too old to care what you think. All right? So you can sit there and run your mouth. I'm 57. I really don't care what your opinion of me is. I'm way past having my ego hurt. All right? But so I just walked away. I was kind. I was considerate. You know, I'm sorry you feel that way. But we have an opportunity to do this. We want to help these kids out. I walked away. The other pastor stayed there. I don't know what all he said. Finally, it was time to start. I just went and grabbed the other pastor and just said, we need to be in here. All right? But then I thought, okay, who in here thinks you're going to face more opposition in the future when you proclaim Jesus Christ as opposed to receiving less opposition in America? How many think you're going to see more? I do. I think we're going to see more, okay? Especially as we become more vocal and more present in our communities here. Not everybody is going to be cordial to that. So I prayed, God, what are some verses that could help us to keep cool, not lose our train of thought, not become discombobulated, whatever you want to say. And God brought me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's a church where the seed stuck. And I think Paul gives us some great instruction here. So how to be biblically grounded for turbulent times. I don't care what you want to call it, but this is Paul doing this. And so what is the context? How did God show me that this is what he's talking about? Look at verse number 2. But even after that we had suffered before and were what? Shamefully entreated. Now, when I saw that phrase, shamefully entreated, I was thinking that Paul was going to refer back to 2 Corinthians, where he talks about being shipwrecked, beaten, in peril on this, in peril on that. That's not what the word means. So I looked it up a couple places, because sometimes one editor will choose to focus on one nuance and another editor will choose to focus on another one. But no matter where I look, it came up the same. That phrase, shamefully entreated, means of one who injures another by not using physical assaults, but by using verbal assaults. Okay? So you're more apt, and if you look throughout history, the majority of time, it may end up physical, but it starts out verbally trying to insult you is the goal of the game. And we all know that. We've seen these arguments go on. And as I mentioned last week, when you are talking with somebody and you have just scored a point and they don't know what to do, number one, they will be silent. Number two, they're going to drop a bomb on your character to try to shame you, to make it look like you're not worthy to be respected regarding your opinion. All right? So they're trying to do this. Then look at, keep on reading on verse number two. But even after we had been suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much what? Contention. That word contention is the Greek word for a contest, arena, a stadium, which makes sense. Any place that competition can take place. In a stadium, you can have two teams. In a stadium, you can have two people. In a stadium, that's where the competition, that's where the contest takes place. So when you add those two phrases together, this is what it means. We must be ready for verbal contest with people. Okay? That's what's going to happen. And we know their goal. Their goal is to shamefully entreat you. Their goal is to verbally make you feel one way or another. And we need to know, listen, you can throw out your verbal garbage all you want, but we're not going to let it get to us because we know some truths from the Word of God about what we're speaking, and this is not helpful or hurtful to us. All right, so what happened Tuesday morning? Found out this individual was a history teacher, okay? And so this is the first point that's a good necessity or a good thing to have, but not a necessity. It's helpful to be equipped with as much earthly material as possible. What do I mean by that? I went and told Pastor Mark Abel what had happened and with the history teacher, and he immediately had like three things dealing with history that he was able to spout off, which would have been good to be able to quote to this individual. It's not necessary, but it would be helpful if you were equipped as much as possible with earthly material, knowing things like that. Again, not absolutely necessary. The more you know, the better you feel about engaging in that type of discussion. But here's something that is absolutely necessary. You must be walking with the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit, and knowing His Word. Okay, why are we having so many opportunities to talk, discussion group, chew on this, Sunday school classes? Because you and I have to be absolutely comfortable discussing our faith in the verbal form and being able to someone to stand up in a very controlled setting and say, I don't necessarily agree with you about that, and not lose our train of thought. And the way you do it is have discussions among people on a regular basis. That's why we're doing those things. Pastor Corey and I were very intentional on doing this, all right? To develop our skill set of talking and being confronted. Because sometimes you can throw people totally off their track by saying, I don't agree with that and I think that's foolish. What do you mean you think that's foolish? All right? So we're trying to get us to think that way. So we have to understand the initial attack is going to be verbal with the goal of shaming you with your words, okay? So the initial attack that's going to most likely come with you as an American Christian is going to come from another individual. They're not likely to beat you up physically. They're likely to use what? Words. And they're likely trying to shame you. So I don't know about you, but it helps for me to mentally be prepared for that. To know this is what I'm most likely to face. And so I'm not caught off guard when people begin this. So we're going to look at a couple of things that Paul tells us in this passage that he did when he was shamefully entreated. First one, 1 Thessalonians 2:2, we were what? Bold. Okay? We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. Bold doesn't mean I'm on a white charger running into a battle. I have that kind of... I'm not afraid of anything. I'll go face whoever you want to put in front of me. That's not necessarily what that word means, right? It includes that, but it's more along the lines, boldness means I am going to speak the words and I'm going to speak all of them. Okay? God, I need to speak words and I need to speak how many of them? All of them. So how does that happen? This is a great example in Acts 4:29. I love it because there was no learn to speak bold conferences in this day, right? They didn't read books. They didn't go to a Pauline seminar or a Peter seminar and learn how to speak boldly. They had never in their lives been persecuted before. They had never experienced persecution for the faith because the Christian faith hadn't really gotten off the ground yet. And the minute it got off the ground, what happened? Attacks. Okay? They brought Peter and John in front of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. And how did they attack them? In this case, verbally and physically. But the first one was with their mouth. These ignoramuses are trying to speak these words to these people. And we need to stop them. We need to shut them down. And that's what they tried. So this is the response of God's people when they need to be bold and they're facing these attacks. And now, Lord, behold their what? Their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Every word and all the words necessary. So what did they do? And when they had prayed. Okay? You may want to start praying that prayer right now. God, I don't know when it's going to happen. It may never happen, but I'm feeling that it is going to happen. So when it does, give me the strength to be bold. Remember, they had never been through this before. They had not been to seminar classes. They hadn't read books. They hadn't been taught that in Sunday school. This is the first time. So when the first time and they didn't know what to do, they did this. They prayed. So then I want to know what happened. They prayed. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they what? They began to speak the word of God with boldness. Okay. So if I sense I'm going to receive more verbal threatenings in the future when I begin to open my mouth, I better start preparing now by doing what? Praying. God, I don't know when this is going to happen. I don't know if you're going to allow it to happen. But if it were to happen, I would really want you to make my mouth move and I speak the words of yours to these individuals. And you may want to pray this. Maybe you have somebody right now you're intimidated by. If the older you get, the less that matters, right? But younger people, you may want to talk to a teacher. You may want to talk to a relative. You may want to talk to somebody and you're looking for the nerve to speak. This is what you do. You pray to God that he would cause you to have this type of boldness so that you can speak God's word, right? And then over in Hebrews chapter 13, why is that so important that I know God is at work answering my prayers? And as a matter of fact, so we're going to take a rabbit trail here. Still early on, nobody's missing anything. far as time-wise, go over to Hebrews 13. I want to fill this in. I didn't bring this up in this morning's message. When people start persecuting and doing their threatenings, normally people threaten with something that has to do with your livelihood or survival, right? What happens if what they threaten you with doesn't mean anything to you? What happens to the threat? Pointless. Right? Pointless. This is Hebrews 13. Let's look at verse number 5. Let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. If I'm not covetous, then it means I'm what? I'm content. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what is my cause for content? I have the thing that I what? That I need. I have who? I have Christ. He's all the world to me, is what we sing. Now we have to put it into practice. And so therefore, if Jesus is all I need and I am content, you can't threaten me with any true function, with my job, with my this, with my that, because that doesn't move me. See what I'm saying? Then verse 6, so that we may what? We may boldly say, the Lord is my what? So I need to know that when I'm facing somebody who's throwing out verbal array of bullets at me, I don't have to worry about them. I have the thing that I need, and that, not the thing, I have the individual who I need, who is who? Jesus Christ. And therefore, I can be what? Bold. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear anything. You cannot threaten me, because your threats mean nothing to me, because what you're threatening me with means nothing to me. And including in the heyday of persecution, even my life, right? Wrigley, play the man. Don't worry about them burning you at the stake. I believe we will light a candle in the country of England that soon will not be extinguished. Play the man. All right? Because to die is gain. So I'm praying for God to be with me. We looked at the Holy Spirit in Acts. We're looking in Hebrews. It's the Holy Spirit, then it's God the Son. Ephesians chapter 6, 18. Doing what always? Praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth. What are they doing? Praying. Okay? Maybe, Alina, we need to add this to the prayer sheet. That we would pray, that we would be bold, not just in times of persecution, but all times. This is what the early church is doing. And if they knew anything about persecution, if anybody knew anything about persecution, it was these people. And what they're doing, we need to be doing. They're praying for boldness. They're confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're confident in the Spirit of God. That's where we need to have our confidence. So, first step in staying cool is be in constant prayer and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, it's helpful if you're free from covetousness, thereby you negate any leverage that they're trying to exert upon you. Okay? In other words, don't be worldly. First step, be in prayer, filled with the Spirit, free from covetousness. It really shuts down an argument, really, right, when you can't make the other person mad. Now, next thing, for our exhortation, that word exhortation is a speech to give encouragement. Okay? That's why we're not only trying to encourage these young people, or not only try to lead them to the Lord, but to encourage them, because the fact of the matter is, many of these kids probably have never heard a word of encouragement coming from their home, right? So we're there. So an encouragement or exhortation is a speech to encourage. Exhortation most likely refers to a speech given before battle. And this is just something I found interesting. It is said that professional soldiers need to be encouraged, but those fighting for life and country have no need to be encouraged. All right? And we're not fighting for life and country. We're fighting for spiritual lives in God's kingdom. So that should be all of our motivation. So our first thing that you need to understand what you're saying. Excuse me, but I try to get this out. Our exhortation was not of what? Deceit, right? Deceit is error that leads to error. So I asked this question to help us be alleviated from any shamefulness. Who's deceiving people in this country anyway? Is it three pastors walking into a school with their Bibles that they're going to open in front of these kids and say, turn to this passage, and this is what it says, and this is what we believe? Does that look like we're trying to deceive anybody? That doesn't. How about the school system that doesn't let parents see what they're teaching their kids, hides their curriculum in conspicuous ways so that you do not know, teaches them things, and tells a kid, now don't go home and tell your who? Does that look more deceptive than three guys walking into a school with their Bibles open? How about a political system that does not show you the emails, doesn't show you all the conversation, hides this, hides that, won't tell you about what's going on at a border, won't tell you what they're doing with another country, tries to make up false allegations against somebody else? Does that look like deceit? Or does three guys walking in with a Bible look like we're trying to deceive somebody? Right? So our political system, our educational system, how about our economic system? People who do shady deals, inside training, Ponzi schemes, anything else you can talk about. Does that look like somebody trying to deceive somebody? It sure does. Does three men walking into a school holding their Bible, telling kids to look at this passage, look at that passage, does that look like somebody trying to deceive somebody? No. So then why are we ashamed to go in there and speak those words? You're not trying to deceive anybody, are you? On Monday morning, tomorrow morning, they're going to walk in and Miss Esther is going to open the Bible and tell the kids something from the Word of God. It doesn't appear to me as Miss Esther is trying to beguile or trying to deceive anybody in that room. We're flat open honest. We told the people, we told their mom and dads, can we have permission to teach them the... We're not deceiving them, right? Deception is teaching sex education to kindergartners and first graders because you know, as this chart in our book that we have on purity, you know there's a progression, a regression of humanity, really, that eventually when you get the end of that, you're going to be one of the most miserable acting human beings on the face of this earth. They know that, and they know that this is their goal of promoting a certain agenda, and they're after that, and they're deceiving people. It's just this, it's just that. No, it's not. You know where it's going to end up. If you're questioning that, look out west. Somebody shared with me this morning what happens in some of these coffee shops in Washington and Oregon. You can't believe what happens in some of these places. And where is the most upheaval going in society happening in America today? Right there. Now, who's being deceptive? You're not being deceptive. We're not being deceptive. So don't be ashamed. They have more. I would really like to ask that teacher, and I'm sure I'll see him Tuesday, what history he's teaching. All you have to do, which nobody rarely does, is go get some history, some biographies of some of these people that they say are this, that, or other thing, and just read them. I was reading the Federalist Papers while I was recovering from my heart disease, and the founding of this country was far from perfect, but not what it's being painted to be. We're not trying to deceive. Number two, nor was it of what? Uncleanliness. All right? We are not ashamed because we are not driven by impure motives. Look at our motives. Ephesians 4:24. Is this something you think you ought to be ashamed of? That ye, young person, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is after God is created in what? Righteousness and? Is that something you ought to be ashamed of? I'm going into this school trying to teach these young kids how to be holy and righteous in their living. Is that something I ought to put my head between my legs and walk with my tail between my legs and get out of that school because I'm a dirty person doing that? Is that something I should feel that way? Is that how I should be acting? No way. Now, I'm not saying our school system is doing any of this, but other school systems are. And they ought to be ashamed for the things they're teaching. When you won't even tell your mom and dad, and you don't want your mom and dad seeing them teach on a Zoom meeting, that's something to be ashamed of. There's nothing walking in with your Bible to teach somebody to put off these old habits, these sinful habits, and to become holy and righteous is nothing to be ashamed of. Right? Absolutely not. So, they weren't trying to deceive, they weren't being unclean, and there was no guile. Guile, words to bait or to trap. Are we trying to trap anybody by teaching them the word of God? Are we trying to bait them? What bait are we going to use? Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of... Doesn't sound to me like he's trying to deceive. Listen, nobody's going to come to God through Jesus Christ by your fancy words or deception, right? It doesn't happen. And we know it doesn't happen. So why would we trap somebody? You can't trap somebody into the kingdom of God. You can't get them there that way. So we know that. We have no other recourse but to go to the Word of God, trust that the Spirit of God will take that Word, minister to their hearts, that they'll turn to God Himself through Jesus Christ. That's the only ammunition we have, and we truly understand it, and we know it, and we don't go there setting traps for these kids. Right? We don't make them go. They come. I can't help it. We show up at the library and kids want to hear us, what we have to say. We're not trying to trap them there. At any time, they can get up and what? Leave. Now, they can't do that in his history class now, can they? And if they don't go to his history class, they're going to send the sheriff to his mom and dad's house for truancy and make them do what? Go back. Not saying he's setting up a trap or anything, but we're not doing this. We're not motivated by deceit. We're not motivated by uncleanness, and we're certainly not motivated by guile. Anybody in this church motivated that way? Not a one of us. So therefore, when they start throwing out their verbal shellackings, you have nothing to be what? You have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing at all. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we what? We're not pleasing who? We're not pleasing men. I don't report to anybody. Do you report to anybody here? No. Who do I report to? Who do you report to? God. And God knows my heart. If I had any impure motives, I better get rid of them or confess them before I see God, because God's going to do what? God's going to take care of it. We don't build his kingdom that way. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but as God, because we know God's going to do what with our hearts? He's going to try us to see what is truly in there. What truly gets you up in the morning to go do this stuff? God knows. And it doesn't profit me to have any alternative motives than the ones that God has provided for us. All right, summary. Staying cool when things get hot. Number one, know the Word of God. You've got to know the Word of God. It doesn't mean you have to be able to quote the whole Bible, but you need to know, have a good paraphrase in your heart and mind so that you can speak it. Number two, you need to what? You need to pray, and we need to start now. Because we don't know, you don't know when things are going to come down, and we need to be bold. Number two, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot be sinning. We cannot be quenching the Spirit. We cannot be frustrating the Spirit of God. He is the one that's going to be working through us. Number four, we do not need to be ashamed because we do not speak what? We don't speak deceit. Isn't it interesting who's calling the kettle black? Right? Of all people to lecture Christians on deceit are not some of these people. Number five, we have no guile. We're not setting traps, right? We're not setting traps here. People walk in here freely, they listen, and they walk out freely. If the Holy Spirit ministers to them, amen. If not, there's nothing I can do to change it. And number six, we're not speaking things which are what? As a matter of fact, those kids, when you speak clean, are going to be flabbergasted that you do it that way. So I don't know when it's going to be getting tougher. I just know that I sense that it is. And we need to remain cool under this pressure. And here's some great example of these people. Didn't go to seminars, didn't read books, didn't have training. This is how they handled this persecution, and I believe this is how we're to handle it as well. Let's close with a word of prayer. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our all in all. Thank you for being our everything. And Lord, as we learned this morning and we want to implement, do I really love you the way you want me to? I pray if I am not, that I would change, that you would show me the right way or the additional way. And Lord, as far as speaking, you have opened great and magnificent doors for us to speak the truth. Now, Lord, we should expect, though graciously you have not, you've kept the majority of it back, but we should expect in the future we are going to receive verbal assaults for sharing Christ. May we be bold. Lord, help us to be your faithful servants. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.